Ending Small Business Failure. Welcome to the Small Biz Chat Podcast with the number one small business expert, Melinda Emerson. Melinda's goal is to end small business failure, and she'll give you the information you need to succeed and live the life you dream of. Now, here's your host, the Small Biz Chat Lady herself, Melinda Emerson.
Have you subscribed to the Small Biz Chat Podcast? Well, it's time. Every Wednesday, we offer listeners bite-sized actionable tips to start and grow a successful small business. In just 20 minutes or so a week, you can get a ton of insight and resources to propel your business forward. Be sure to subscribe to the Small Biz Chat Podcast today. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Small Biz Chat Podcast. I'm Melinda Emerson, Small Biz Lady, your host, and I'm America's number one small business expert. You know, oftentimes in business, we think we have a revenue problem, when in fact, you might have a mindset problem. And my guest here today is going to talk to us about what is a winning mindset and how you can always reboot yours if you find yourself in a rut. Let me introduce my guest. His name is Dan Staupe, and he is known as the Energized Entrepreneur. He's a business mentor and a popular local and national speaker. He's the award-winning owner of Sandler Training of Kansas City, a renowned business development coaching and sales training business. Dan specializes in working with presidents and owners who sell and peak performer sales professionals who want to push through to their next level. For more information, you can go to www.staupe.sandler.com. Dan, welcome to the Small Biz Chat Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's jump right into it, Dan. How do you define a winning mindset for a small business owner?
Sure. Winning mindset is really about what you think about. You know, there's the tale of the two wolves, you know, that are competing against each other, and they always say which one's going to win, and it's the one that you feed. So we are going to have things that happen day in and day out. You know, we're human beings, not human doings. So it's not a matter of what happens to us. It's more a matter of what we do with it. So I always say, you know, some people, they'll say, you know, it is what it is. And that's a completely different statement than someone who says it just is. And I can get into that a little bit later.
Well, let's get into it. I mean, what are the main components required for developing a winning mindset?
Sure. So we'll get into some competencies, you know, and if this was so darn easy, everybody'd be doing it. But one of the six ones that I'll talk about is ambition and drive, that internal drive, because if you don't want something to change, it will not change. But then the other part of that is, am I taking action on what I want to change? So one is about passion, internal passion. The other one is about commitment. And you can have people that a lot of people see those as one and the same, but they're not, because some people make things happen and others keep things happening, and some can do both and some can do neither. So it's really about those two are a good start, but also accepting responsibility. I don't know if you're familiar with the drama triangle, but if you feel like you're a victim, it's not going to change, because we don't want to be a persecutor. We don't want to be a victim. We just want to take responsibility. And then, of course, positive outlook. But another one is just knowing where you are, you know, knowing what your strengths are, knowing what you're not so good at. Because if I think I'm great at everything, I'm probably not, and I'm not going to change. On the other hand, if I think I'm bad at everything, I'm probably not, and I'm not going to change.
Right. What you believe is true, no matter whether it's good or bad, right?
Correct.
So how can you share an example, you know, from your own experience where adopting a winning mindset really made a huge difference in your business success?
Yeah. So for me, it was really about, you know, I am a performance coach for sales and sales leaders. And so I need to be eating my own dog food, so to speak. And so part of that is, you know, just working on myself and then be able to transfer and leverage that. And so one of the things that a lot of people think about winning mindset is that they just have to think differently. And that is part of the puzzle, but what really needs to precede that is to act differently. So one of the sayings I like to say is act as if. So if I'm a $500,000 producer right now and I want to be $1 million producer, you know, I can continue to tell myself I'm $1 million producer, I'm $1 million producer, you know, positive mental attitude, and it might happen. But what might be work better is I said, let's pretend I was a $1 million producer. What would I be doing now that I'm not doing? What would I not be allowing that I'm allowing? And what happens is when you start to act as if, that's the quickest way to change attitudes. And attitudes take time to change. So if it's not just about thinking, it's about acting and thinking.
Right. It's about thinking and doing,
And
right? You
doing,
know,
right.
right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I gotta step back though and push back just a little bit on you because I'm like, okay, how can you balance a winning mindset with really taking the time to learn from your failures and mistakes, right?
Good one. Absolutely. Yes. So, first of all, 80% of us are more likely to modify our behavior to avoid a pain. So, instead of seeing failure as the enemy, failure is our friend. Now, this is the unintentional person is more likely to do that. Now, only 20% of us are willing to modify our behavior for gain. And I'm a big believer, let's just modify our behavior no matter what. But the reality of it is, failure can be. If we're intentional and if we step back to your point and say, okay, that did not go the way I wanted it to. And this gets back to accepting responsibility, Melinda. Now I'd say, hey, how did I contribute to that outcome? I'm not blaming. Where would I have maybe done something a little bit differently next time? Not, you know, so we don't want to focus on what we did, didn't, or did or didn't do that caused it. We want to talk more about next time. So it might be, you know, that prospect brought this up. I chose not to go there. 3 weeks down the road, after we both spent a lot of time, here we are, and that's the reason I didn't get the deal. So we could say, you know, well, I should have said something. It's more about next time, if that comes up, I'm going to address it right then and there. That would be an example.
Okay, so you're like learn from, like take the time to learn from why it didn't work out and don't
Exactly.
just assume why it didn't work out.
And you want to focus on next time, not what didn't go well. It's kind of, I don't know if you've ever been lost before and you didn't have a map and you got there. You go, oh, thank goodness I got there. And then 2 weeks later, you're going there again. You don't have a map. You go, oh, that looks familiar. Oh, I think I'm getting close. I saw that. But what looks familiar is when you were lost. So the reality of it is we do need to make sure that we're saying next time, I'm going to have a map, next time, whatever, and follow that instead of making the same mistakes over and over again.
Well, but just because you're the business owner and you have a winning mindset, how do you make that part of the culture of your organization?
Yeah, so first of all, you can say things come from the top down, right? So, and birds of a feather flock together. We've got all these different sayings. So it does start at the top. And what happens is if you're a you know, working on yourself, I think it's important for people at the top to continue to be working on themselves. A lot of times, sometimes they get a little comfortable. I've arrived, I got this. And that's usually a slippery slope down. So instead, we want to always be working on ourselves, and then we will attract different people to our organization. So when I'm at a higher frequency, you know, where I'm seeing the positives, I'm not getting down, I'm either going to A, attract more of those people at a higher frequency. Some people will say, you know, I wish I was like that, and they're going to become more like that. And then the low frequency people will be repelled. And that's exactly what we want to have happen. We don't want to be attracting low frequency people. So it's really important for those leaders to not just be developing their people, but as or more importantly, developing themselves.
So let's talk about salespeople for a minute, because I know a lot of small business owners struggle to hire, manage, and coach salespeople. So how do you go about, I mean, let's say I hire this, you know, hotshot salesperson who came in here with this great track record from the last place they were, and they get to you and they're like, they're falling flat. They're
Yeah,
not
that's
converting. And like, what do you do? Because I've been in this position myself a dozen times. So I want to understand
What do you do when you hire, you know, you make this investment, you give them a serious base and not make them a commission-based salesperson? Like, what do you do when, I mean, do you just like, oh my God, they're not converting, get them out of here? Or should you actually try to train them?
Yeah, well, those are, if I had a quarter for every entrepreneur, I wouldn't have to work. But you're right. It is a conundrum, but there are some things that we can do. Part of it is a lot of smaller companies, maybe they're just looking to hire one or two people. They don't have a transferable and repeatable sales process. So what happens is they're able to get to do it because they're the owner. They have an equal business posture. They just have uniqueness to them because they own the place. You know, they're paying all the bills. They just have a different posture. And they assume that if I hire someone who's actually a salesperson, they'll outperform me. And they can. But what happens is if there's no process, then what happens is you delegate your sales process to this person that can lead. And I've had clients that had, you know, entrepreneurs that have had 7 salespeople in 8 years and none of them have worked out. And I blame him, but I say, what's the common denominator?
You.
Yes.
Right.
So something needs to change. So having Sandler happens to be a repeatable, transferable process. It's not the only one. The other thing is people don't use outside assessments before they hire people. I mean, salespeople are the hardest people to interview because they're used to being in interviews. And so if we don't have any data, and actually those 6 competencies that I mentioned earlier are part of that, you actually get scores on it. And some things are easier to help people through than others. And, you know, if someone's not ambitious, you're both going to be working really hard to get the ambitious, and it's never going to carry the day.
Interesting. Well, I really appreciate that, even if it's just a answer to one question about it, because it's a very stressful thing in a lot of business owners. And then how can the, you know, when you bring a new salesperson into an organization, how can you help them through collaboration, you know, deliver a high performance?
Yeah. So one of the things that a lot of people, owners aren't doing this either, is they're tracking their sales outcomes, but they're not tracking the 5 or 6 key performance indicators that lead to sales outcomes. And in Sandler speak, we call that the cookbook. It's your recipe for success. And what a lot of people just do is they get 10 appointments a week or call 20 people a day. And it's just based on nothing. I mean, nobody ever questions it because they just assume, you know, but the reality of it is if we start to track these KPIs, like attempting to reach someone, whether we actually talk to them, whether we actually meet with them, whether we actually quote them and then actually sell them something, we can reverse engineer what their new business goal is into daily behaviors. And so when I don't know what my daily behaviors need to be, that's a development opportunity. When I know what they are as a salesperson, I consistently don't do them. That's an attitude issue. And those are the folks that you want to help them back out into the workforce because they're just not going to do the work.
Interesting. All right. Last question for you, Dan. What is the best business advice that you've ever gotten?
Best business advice. You know, I feel like I'm breaking, you know, kind of saying this too many times, but there's a couple books out there that also support this, is The Little Things Done Consistently Well Over a Period of Time Lead to Quantum Leaps. And, you know, we're in, you know, when I was younger, it was the microwave, you know, it's so fast, you know, now it's instant messaging and text and all, everything so quickly. But there are certain things you cannot just skip over. And so it's the little things that are oftentimes holding us back.
Thank you so much for that, Dan. That is so insightful and helpful. And I'm going to think about that. Thank you all for joining me for this episode of the Small Biz Chat podcast. If you are an author, speaker, coach, or consultant looking to learn how to become a national brand, I want to help you attract corporate brands, media opportunities, and more at my Brand in Demand 6-month group coaching program, which starts on March 20th. I'm teaching A to Z how to build a million-dollar brand, and I've worked with over 150 corporations, and I want to teach you how to do it too. So all you have to do is head over to smallbizladyuniversity.com for more details and sign up today because space is limited. The mission of the Small Biz Chat podcast is to end small business failure. And I want to leave you with this. You never lose in business. Either you win or you learn. God bless everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Small Biz Chat Podcast with Melinda Emerson. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and join us next Wednesday for more fantastic information and interviews. You can find more sources and small business success strategies by visiting Melinda's website, succeedasyourownboss.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.